This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
But we have the mind of Christ, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. These are all exhortations from the Apostle Paul. He's telling the people of God, let the mind that is in Christ, the very thinking of Jesus, be your thinking also. Seek his mindset. For the past month, we've been hearing about this. So, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Simply put, it means knowing how to think and act as Jesus did. It means having discernment in making Christ-like decisions. But it does require our cooperation in submitting ourselves to the will of God. Every time we look into the mirror of God's Word, we're to ask ourselves, does what I see about myself reflect the nature and thinking of Christ? Am I changing from image to image? Am I allowing every experience God brings into my life to conform me to be more and more like Jesus? According to Paul, here is the mindset of Christ. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. You see, Jesus made a decision while he was still in heaven. He made an agreement with the Father to lay down his heavenly glory, come to earth as a man. He was going to descend to the world as a humble servant, seeking to minister rather than to be ministered to. Now, for Christ, this meant saying, Father, I go to do your will. For you see, Jesus determined this ahead of time. He was saying, I'm laying down my will in order to do your will, Father. Everything I say and do has to come from you. I'm laying down everything to be totally dependent on you. And in turn, the Father agreed to reveal his will to the Son. In essence, God said to him, my will won't ever be hidden from you, son. You will always know what I am doing and how I am doing it. You will have my mind. Now, there are many people today who claim to be followers of Jesus who have never made the decision to live as the Lord did. Instead, they live comfortably with their flesh, their tempers, their character flaws, their favorite sins, and they've never wanted to change. They say, hey, that's just my nature. It's the way I am. But when Paul boldly states, I have the mind of Christ, he's declaring, I too have made myself of no reputation. Like Jesus, I've taken on the role of a servant. And Paul says the same should be true for every believer. We all can have the mind of Christ. However, instead of talking about how we can have the mind of Christ, as I conclude this series today, I'd like to use a different question to address the same issue. Possibly the most asked question by Christians is, how can I know God's will? Do you remember Romans 12:2? Says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've been quoting this verse for the past few Sundays, but let's finish the verse today. Because it says at the end of the verse, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I submit, there is nothing more important for a person to know except salvation, nothing more important than what God's will is. Did you hear about the guy who was in his 60s who just received his 14th college degree from the University of California? Apparently, when he was a young college student, his father passed away. And a provision of the will was that all the son's living expenses would be covered as long as he was a college student. So for nearly 50 years, he's been taking classes. Tell me, would you call him a success? No, because he's never done anything with his education. And you know what? There are many Christians just like him. They're constantly taking a class or listening to podcasts or attending Bible studies or going to worship services, but they never bear any fruit. Let's read John 4:34, where Jesus was talking to his disciples. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus made it very clear that he came on the scene in order to do the will of God. That was his purpose. And I believe many of us would have a lot more purpose in life if we were convinced that we too are here to do the will of God. And the truth of the matter is, that's why we're here. So Jesus said to his disciples, "I have found the one thing that satisfies and fulfills me more than anything else. I've been sent to do the will of God." Now, another interesting scripture is found in Mark 3:35, where we once again hear our master speaking and saying, "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." A paraphrase of what Jesus is saying is, whoever will do the will of God will have an eternal relationship with me. I can relate and fellowship with the individual who will do the will of God. Do you see? Our relationship with Jesus Christ hinges on our willingness and our obedience to do the will of God. A cowboy once gave this simple explanation of the Christian life. He said, "Lots of folks who really want to do right think that serving the Lord means making themselves hoarse, shouting and praising his name." The cowboy went on, "I'll tell you how I look at it. I'm working for Roy. Now, if I sit around the bunkhouse all day saying what a good guy Roy is, I'd be doing just what a lot of Christian people do. But would that suit Roy? No, I'd get fired mighty quick. But when I buckle on my spurs and hustle among the hills and see that Roy's herd is all right, they're not suffering for feed and water, not being rustled off the range by cattle thieves, then I am serving Roy as he wants to be served." James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Now let's look at Ephesians 5:17, where the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." See, so here we're challenged to understand what the will of God is. Listen, there's nothing that a Christian will ever know other than their salvation that's more important than knowing God's will. In addition, I want to admonish you and say that God expects you and me to come to an understanding of the will of God in our lives so that every decision we make will be made with the will of God in mind. And I've observed that most of God's people live rather carelessly concerning God's will, and that they have their own plans, and they go on in their own way, forgetting that they will never be what God wants them to be, and never have the peace that God wants them to have, and never have a relationship with God that He wants them to have until they align their lives with the will of God. See, God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. God has a divine arrangement for our lives. He has a place He wants us to fill. There's a path He wants us to walk. There's a spirit and an attitude that He wants us to manifest. There are decisions He wants us to make. There are things He wants us to turn away from. There are things He wants us to do. There are places He expects us to be faithful. The truth is, as Christians, our position in eternity will be largely determined by our accomplishing and fulfilling the will of God in our lives here on earth. I think I should repeat that. As Christians, our position in eternity will be largely determined by our accomplishing and fulfilling God's will for us on earth. And since that's true, don't you think it would be wise for us to get some clarification? I mean, if how I live here for 70, 80, or 90 years determines how I'm going to live for the next 10 million years and more, maybe it would be good to ask ourselves some questions. You know, questions like, do I even know the will of God for my life? Am I doing it? Am I in God's will? Am I pleasing God now? So, in an attempt to help us understand how to discover and walk in the will of God, I've written down 10 questions. These are questions that I hope you will write down and you'll ask yourself. I know I ask myself these questions over and over again. These 10 questions will help us determine whether or not we are doing the will of God. So, are you ready? Question number one, am I willing to do God's will? Am I willing to pray as Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done? Or am I taken up so much by my own will that I don't honestly desire to do the will of my Heavenly Father? This is the beginning question. Are we willing to do the will of God? And question number two, am I obedient to clear scriptural direction? Now, I'm not talking here about those areas where it's difficult to know just what the Scripture is saying. I'm talking about those areas where we do know what the Scripture says, where it's clear. And let me add here that there's not a believer hearing me today who can violate what the Scripture clearly says and not know it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit convicts us and we know. For instance, when we know it's God's will for us to be at church and then don't come, God's Spirit deals with us about that. It's the same with the tithe and offering and our dedication to the things of Christ. So question number two is, are we walking according to the revealed and understood will of God, Word of God? Question number three, am I praying so that God's will may be done? Often in counseling, when people are asked if they have prayed about something, they say, oh no, Pastor, I haven't prayed about that because I know what God would say about it. So what are they saying? They're saying they want to do what they want to do. So, question number three is, are you committed to doing God's will when He reveals it? Question number four, who's directing me? The Holy Spirit or the flesh? You see, there are two great forces that work in the life of a Christian. One, the Spirit of God. Two, the voice and calling of the flesh. The Bible tells us that they war against one another. The flesh says, do this. The Holy Spirit says, do this. And if we listen to the voice of the Spirit, we reap from the Spirit life and peace and joy and satisfaction and happiness and deliverance. But if we sow to the flesh, we from the flesh will reap corruption. So, which voice is controlling us? To which voice are we listening? Question number 5, am I pleasing God? In other words, is He satisfied? Is He giving me the smile of His approval? I pray that God will so direct our lives that we can rejoice in God's approval. Can you imagine how Jesus felt when God thundered out of heaven on 3 occasions, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So let's ask ourselves the question, am I pleasing God? Am I living my life in such a way that God is pleased? Or am I trying to please someone not nearly as important? Okay, let's read Colossians 3:17 to get questions 6 and 7. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Did you get that? Paul was saying that whatever you do, in word or in deed, whatever you say, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord. So question number 6 is, can I do what I'm doing and say what I'm saying in the name of the Lord? See, the question we should ask ourselves is what I'm getting ready to do, is what I'm getting ready to say, is it something the Lord would do or say? I think you realize this will sanctify a lot of our actions, will change a lot of what we say if we're trying to do it in the name of the Lord. I can tell you one thing it would do. It would stop all the foul language. And it would be the end of a lot of other things too. Listen, we need to take a little personal inventory. We need to ask ourselves, can I do what I'm planning to do this evening or this weekend? Can I do it and do it in the name of the Lord? If you can, you're walking in the will of God. If you can't, you need to sanctify your decision. See, what you're getting ready to write in a letter, what you're getting ready to say or text, can you do it in the name of the Lord? You see, this doing of God's will is a vital part of our everyday existence. Just think, there would be no phony contracts if what we did was in the name of the Lord. We could go back to the way it was in my grandfather's day, when your word was your bond. All you needed was a handshake. Can I do what I'm doing in Christ's name? Okay, look again at the last part of the 17th verse of chapter 3. We'll find the next one. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Question number 7. Can I praise and thank God for what I am about to say or what I'm about to do? Well, I don't know about you, but when I put this light on things, I find there are a number of things I must quit because it's not possible to praise God for some of the things I'm prone to say and prone to do. And yet, this is the qualifier if we want to do the will of God. Okay, we'll find the next question in 1 Corinthians 8:9. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. I think probably 1 Corinthians 12:25-26 would make a good companion passage with this, where it says, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So question number 8 is, will what I am about to do or say cause the body of Christ to be offended? Am I willing to surrender my liberty so there will be no offense in the church? Is what I'm about to do going to cause a divisiveness in the community of believers? Is it going to make people choose up sides? If it is, don't make that decision. You see, we're all members of the same body. Everything we do affects the whole body. You may think that you're not important, but if you're a member of the body of Christ, your decisions and your actions affect the entire body of believers. This is why the will of God is so vitally important to the power and strength of the entire body of Christ on this earth. We cannot do as we please. We are bond slaves. Will it cause the body of Christ to be offended? Will it cause divisiveness? Then don't do it. This is the only way there can be unity and oneness in the body. Jesus said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." Okay, next, Paul gives us a principle in Romans 14, 22 and 23. "So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin." Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Question number 9, is there a question mark about what I am getting ready to do? See, concerning the questionable things, Paul said, if you have the faith to do it and you have no question, you have no concern, no anxiety, and your faith is positive, then you may do it. However, if there is the slightest indication of condemnation, if there's even a tiny little warning bell ringing, or off in the distance, the Holy Spirit is flashing a red light, do not do it, for it will be sin. If you condemn yourself in the act you're about to do or in the thing you're about to say, then it is sin. Let me tell you something, friends. If we could really get a hold of this principle, it would be amazing how clear our path would be before us. It would be so easy to say, no thanks. You see, God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to have faith until there is no question. And if there is a question, it would be better to nail it to the cross. Well, that brings us to number 10. So let's go to the Old Testament and read what the wise man who wrote the Proverbs said. Proverbs 24, verse 6 says, "For by wise counsel you will wage war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety." Now, if you'll listen, I'll help somebody today. Here's the next question, the 10th one. Question number 10, do mature, spiritual, and committed Christians agree with what I am about to do? Now, it's not very hard to find someone to agree with you. You know that, don't you? That's why I'm specifying mature, spiritual, and committed Christians. So, when I go to those whom I know are in tune with God and those I know care about me, what do they say? Do they have a positive witness in their spirit about the decision I'm making? Do they sense that it's fine and good? Then, brothers and sisters, you have safe ground to walk on. However, if you go to godly people and there's a concern, you'd better put on the brakes. I hope you're hearing me. It's an awesome responsibility to be a spiritual leader, but it is a responsibility God has called me to. Please be assured, I do not take it lightly, because I know I will be required to give an account for my leadership. And I can say honestly that it grieves me when people ask for counsel and then ignore it just because it's not what they wanted to hear. And I've also had people come to me and say, "Pastor, here's what God's told me to do. What do you think? Do you think I should do it?" Well, how am I supposed to answer that? Do you expect me to say, "Well, I don't care what God told you. Do this instead"? Listen, if you want advice or counsel from me, don't come trying to get me to agree with what you've already decided. By the way, there's no doubt that God does give your spiritual leaders supernatural insights to help you. If you have submitted yourself to the leadership at Antioch Bible Baptist or Northland Cathedral or Harmony Vineyard, then don't come to me to confirm God's direction in your life. Go to the ones God has placed in responsibility for you. However, if God has placed you in this body, don't go running all over town trying to find the counsel you want. Go to your own pastor for confirmation. Once again, let me say, I believe the most important thing a Christian can ever know is the good and perfect will of God. However, there are scores of God's people who know Jesus as their Savior, who will live their entire earthly life in a misery and in a bondage way beneath where God intended them to be. You know why? Because they've caved in to their own desires and not chosen to do the will of God. And consequently, God will never be able to accomplish what He wanted in their lives. And when they leave this world, step into the next, they'll never receive what God wanted them to receive. Why? Because they wouldn't pay the price to walk according to His will. Father, not my will, but thine be done. As you're aware, we're living in a time when the world is dealing with the results of a worldwide pandemic, and America is facing a very real political threat to our freedom. Millions of people's hearts are failing them for fear. And the Church of Jesus Christ, it's being challenged as never before in history. And as I survey this, I wonder, where is the voice of authority in Christ? Where are the shepherds, the congregations, the lay Christians who are thinking as Jesus does? Where are those not pursuing their own agendas, but seeking the mind of the Lord in these times? Pastors and leaders who are focused only on bettering themselves, they're drifting away from intimacy with Christ. They may preach Christ, but they know Him less and less. They're opening themselves to great temptations. And sadly, some are adopting the same attitudes as those they're assigned to reach. I ask you, do you see people in our church who are like-minded with Paul, who are setting their affections on what concerns Christ? And what about you, personally? When you see someone who's unemployed, do you pray for them? Do you seek ways to be of assistance? Do you look for ways to serve? Where are the young Timothys of today? Where are the young men and women of God who will reject the siren call to success and recognition, who will resist the temptation to defy authority rather than setting their hearts on love and fervent prayer? Where are those who are willing to bring everything in their lives under subjection so they can be true servants of Christ and His church? I hope every Christian hearing me today will look to God and say, Lord, do Your will in my life at any cost. Listen, friends, the sweetest words you and I will ever hear is when we're ushered into God's presence and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You see, our prayer should be, Lord, I don't want to be focused only on myself in a world that's spinning out of control. I don't want to be concerned about my own future. I know You hold my path in Your hands. So please, Lord, give me Your mind, Your thinking, Your concerns. I want to have Your servant's heart. Lord, we really do want to please You. We admit our stubbornness and selfishness and wanting our own way. We ask You to forgive us and transform us and give us Your mind so we will think and act as You did on earth. Yes, Lord, may Thy will be done. It's in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.